class together. You had rather interesting conversation with Prince Konstantinovich, stroke Shabelsky Bork. You had been running around Berlin, fighting off monstrosities, seeing horrible after effects of these Scheusel, or ogres, as people were calling them, rampaging around the city. And on going to confront Shabelsky Bork, stroke Prince Konstantinovich, you received a bit of a lesson in realpolitik, in the fact that he didn't really deny that he was Piotr Shabelsky Bork, but at the same time, he was kind of saying, and as long as everyone's objectives align, what does it matter if there's some deception along the way?
Yeah, and I, for one, was satisfied that he was not involved in these attempts on our lives.
You're certain that he's not involved in these attempts on your lives, but on the mention of a cult...
Right, he knows something.
Right.
But what that is, of course, you don't know precisely, but what you are sure of is that he has not been involved in these attacks on you. You can only assume that they are possibly random, possibly something else, but not from him.
Well, there is one person that has it in for us, who we've recently crossed, who knows exactly who we are, and probably can find us and follow us around the city pretty easily.
I don't think he knows exactly who we are.
He knows exactly who I am. I made certain of it. Like, I gave him my name in the context of a threat. Like,
plus, Manfred von Killinger has been associating with these people, so it would be very easy to find out who you were if that was the case. But perhaps a more pressing, urgent matter is going back to Sophia's.
Cafe Sophia, yeah.
A more pressing matter might have come to your attention. The fact that as you were getting out of Katorian's motor, and it might have been just the sodium of the street light reflecting his eyes suddenly took on this narrow, pig-like intensity. And then it was gone. Maybe just a trick of the light. You head into Sophia's. It's still the 23rd of June. It's probably about 8 p.m. now, 7:30, 8 p.m.
Good night, everyone. I'm going to a cabaret. I should have a cab. I should own a cabaret. One of these days, I'm going. Cafe Sophie will be a cabaret.
I don't think this is the time for you to pop off to the cabaret.
What could possibly happen? I'm secretly armed, and I am in need of stress relief. And we live in Berlin. The biggest reason to live in Berlin now is culture. And I have some ideas that will make Sophie much better.
You're just going to go watch a show?
Yep.
Now, I think I said this last week, but it is way too early. The cabarets don't really start for another few hours. You might have to wait a little while.
Is anyone as curious as to Anna Tchaikovsky's real identity as I am?
We know her real identity.
We don't.
You think she's lying?
I don't think that she's lying. I think that I'm not sure that she knows. This is the story of what happened in Praterinburg, is that the entire family was slaughtered on the site. Nobody left that room alive. There were, I forgot how many men came into the basement and shot up the whole family. Princess Anastasia living through that is a fairy tale.
Well, the truth of it may be less important than the fact that people believe it.
All right, so look, if there's nothing else you want to do, we'll move time on a couple of hours. Maybe you're just sitting in the sofas, having a drink, maybe waiting for the cabarets to open. You've been feeling a bit strange, Katorian, whilst you're sitting there.
Does the absinthe have anything to do with it?
It probably is just the absinthe, but maybe you've drunk too much, or maybe just the events of the day have been getting to you. It's hard to tell, but there's one thing you need to do for me right now. It's about 9:30-ish, you've been drinking... knocking back the absence, you actually need to roll 3d10.
Alrighty.
Now, you don't know what it is. You lose 8 power.
Oh my god.
Oh, horrible.
You could have lost up to 30 power there, so you really did very, very, very well to only lose 8.
Wow.
Oh dear, that is harsh.
That is harsh. Now, keep a note somewhere of what your power actually was, because... just for reference.
Alrighty,
your power goes down to 52, and you're feeling a bit woozy, a bit lightheaded from the absinthe. Your friends who are sitting there, there's no visible, like, sign of this, but you can see that he's maybe swaying a bit towards you know, as he gets onto about his fourth or fifth absinthe. So, yeah, you see Katoria maybe looking as green as the absinthe at one point. I mean, you thought he could hold his drink, but he seems to not be holding it very well.
Hmm, you okay? How are you doing? Maybe you need to lie down.
I think so.
Should we get you home? Let's get you home.
Yeah.
All right, home.
Maybe you're not in a state to drive either. I can't drive.
I live right around the corner and my man will watch my car. Egon will watch my car. Anybody touches my car knows they've made a grave mistake. We need music in this place. We need music and entertainment and grandeur.
Yeah, we'll get you some grandeur tomorrow after you've had some sleep.
All sorts of delicious, interesting perversity that pervades this city should all be focused right here in this spot, except this spot. I should own the whole building. I should own the whole building. I don't know why I don't own the whole building.
Did you eat anything strange today?
Nothing.
Really?
Nothing. Really? No. I really, really needed the sausage, though. The sausage and sauerkraut was very important. I was famished. Today was so stressful.
Yeah, maybe you want to have a lie down.
Let's get you home. I'm gonna like stand up and try to like.
Don't worry about it. Don't worry.
Pull his arm up to get up and go.
No. You know what? Enjoy yourselves. Egon there. He knows your faces. He'll take care of you. I'm going home. Good night.
Okay, so you get up to leave. So both Eckhart and Safina, you can both make a psychology roll.
Psychology is garbage for me. Ah.
Eckhart, clearly there is something up with Katorian. Acting very out of character. He seems almost obsessed with this idea of turning the cafe into a nightclub. And he seems to be consuming a lot more. He ate a huge meal and then he's been knocking about the absinthes. And yeah, there's definitely something a bit odd.
Yeah, let me walk with you.
No, thank you. No, thank you. Egon will take care of you. If you want a job tomorrow, you can come back and there's a good living in it for you if you like. Thank you. Good night.
As you're leaving, suddenly the door to the cafe bursts open and this young man comes in. He's like flushed and sweating. And he says, I'm glad you're here. You don't recognize him. He says, I work for the prince. He says there's been an incident, and he wishes for your presence at the Baron's apartment right away. He says it's something to do with Anna. Please come. It's very urgent. We need your help.
Okay, I'm going to jump up and go. Yeah.
And you pull up again outside Savignyplatz, where the Baron lives. And actually, as you get out, you see two Russian-looking chaps just kind of coming out. One of them is sort of rubbing his knuckles, and you can see that they're grazed and a bit blooded.
Oh.
And he says to his friend, "That bastard deserved everything he got," he says, rubbing his knuckles.
And how are they dressed? Are they like, these like the Baron's enforcers, or...?
You probably recognize them, actually. You've seen them there before at one of these parties.
Let's go up to them.
They look at you with a slight hint of recognition.
I ask them in Russian what's going on.
One of them says, "I gave that imposter a good bit of chin music."
Which imposter?
Konstantinovich. It was you. You and your friends. We heard from another that you discovered that he was this... Shabelsky Bork. Yeah, the scumbag.
Yeah, he was lying to me as well as to everyone.
You know Shabelsky Bork.
Yes, he's a liar.
Liar, also assassin.
That makes sense.
Da. You know, he killed Nabokov.
Oh, really?
4 months ago. Da, he killed him. In cold blood. I'm no Bolshevik, but... Nabokov was a good man.
Hmm.
This Bork and his cronies, scum. And then they just walk past you and walk off into the night.
Right, okay.
Well, let's go in and see what happens.
So you can all make an education roll at this point. So Eckhart, you remember this incident. This was only a few months ago. Vladimir Nabokov, who is the father of the future Vladimir Nabokov, the writer, was assassinated in March of this year. Nabokov was a political activist, and the assassin avoided a lengthy prison sentence only through a general amnesty that was levied a couple of weeks later. And now it seems like this Shabelsky book was that assassin. So, nice guys you got yourselves wrapped up in.
Yeah.
So, let's go find the Baron.
Yes, let's go in.
You head up, and there's a bit of a commotion in the lounge. You can see Shabelsky Borg is sitting in the comfy chair, and he's tenderly holding his chin. He's got a trickle of blood running down his mouth. You're pretty sure he's lost a tooth. And the Baron is trying to calm everyone down, saying, gentlemen, please. We have more important things to worry about now than about these politics and things from the past. We must move forwards. You can see that there's a few of the Russian guys in there are still pretty angry now that they've discovered who Shabelsky Borg is. And the Baron's trying to calm everyone down. And then he sees you and he says, oh, thank goodness you're here. We had a bit of a problem, as you can see. Please come in and sit down and talk to us.
All right, I'm going to sit down.
And then another man comes and sits down with you. It's Manfred von Killinger.
Oh, God.
And he looks at you. And he says, do I remember you? My memory is not so good for faces. I'm sure you look familiar. He says to Eckhart.
Perhaps I have just one of those familiar faces.
Yeah, that must be it. And the Baron says, no, come on. Please, I know this is a tangled web, Berlin, these days, but I've got to tell you this straight, my friends. Anna has disappeared. I don't know how she somehow got out of the apartment. About 45 minutes ago, we couldn't find her. We need to find her. That poor girl, I think the events of the last few days have got to her, and I'm afraid she may be having another one of her, you know, spells.
What do you mean, spells?
Well, you know what happened last year. Landwehr, the canal, you know.
Is anyone out looking for her?
Well, that is why we call you here. We need to put out a search party. And then Konstantinovich is kind of like, ugh. He says, oh, those Bolshevik bastards. But he looks at you and says, thank you for coming, my friends. I don't need to tell you that with all these recent murders and already an attack on the Grand Duchess, we gravely fear for her safety. Please, let us put all our differences aside and we must find her. She could be in great danger. Then Killinger looks at you and he says, I have made some phone calls. I have contacts in the criminal police. Fortunately, so far at least, no victims have turned up with her description. Now, we must make several search parties. She can't have got far. Do any of you have any insights or thoughts about where she might have gone?
Who's the last person who saw her? And tell us about last year when she wandered off.
She must have climbed out onto the window ledge, gone into the next apartment, and then run down to the stairs. We think she only was here maybe 45, 50 minutes ago. She was definitely here. The Baron was giving her some food and a bit of wine. After that, we haven't seen her. But no, she none of us knew her last year. She went to the Landwehr, the canal. Yeah, that is where she was pulled out.
That is what I would check. So this is like a park or a forest, or like what is this green area?
That is the Berlin Zoo.
Whoa.
Okay, Berlin Zoo. So unlikely she would have wandered in there, but maybe she went north of that, is this river or canal.
Right?
Yeah.
She might have gone there. One party at least should search along the water.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. We must make several parties. Now, where else? You think she might have gone to the zoo?
Perhaps. Maybe the people at the gate would be able to tell us. We can ask if they've seen anyone by her description.
We should check the place next door if she climbed in through their apartment first, just to ask if they've seen anything.
Right, right, yes. But look, we must be quick. Every minute we lose now, she could be getting further away. Let us go.
Okay.
So he gets up. Now that you're talking about the zoo, you do recall that Anastasia Romanoff, the Duchess, she had a great affinity for animals and a close connection.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to the zoo.
All right.
Odd as that might sound.
All right. Yeah, let's go there.
So, you head towards the zoological gardens. Killinger gathers together a group of men to come with. There's the three of you. There's three of his men, as it were, and three Russians who come with. The Baron and Konstantinovich stay in the apartment to be the kind of central point for the search, so people are told to call in if they find anything, and they're going to coordinate. By the time you get there, even though the zoo is closed and locked, you arrive at the elephant gate, and there's actually someone there to unlock the gates for you. Killinger has called in some favor, obviously, to grant you access to the zoo at this late time. He's clearly someone with influence. And he says, okay, spread out. Now, the zoo is dark, lit only by the moonlight and occasional street lamps. An elephant trumpets in the night, answered by the roar of a lion.
I suppose we don't have electric flashlights or anything.
Wait, which one of us made the education roll that found that told us that she has an affinity with animals or something? Do you know what kind of animals she had an affinity to?
Yeah, I think she had like an insane menagerie, right? Like Russian royalty was ridiculous.
Suddenly you're in the jungle and you hear the sounds of all the animals. An elephant trumpets in the night, answered by the roar of the lion. The sound of traffic from the August Victoria Platz is completely muffled by the trees. This is a tranquil island in the middle of a bustling metropolis. Where do you want to head first?
The large predator house.
Okay.
Okay.
It's right there, and it just seems too cool.
The moon is bright, so it's enough to see by, for sure. So you head to the large predator house. You have a look around. There doesn't seem to be anyone there. It seems like you're probably going to have to make a circuit and check all of the buildings one by one. You've done a circuit maybe to the counterclockwise, starting at the large predator house and then going past the lake to the far side and then coming back round past the antelope house. And then you get to the far west side to the ostrich house.
Oh.
And you need to make a spot hidden roll.
Yay.
Okay. And you see someone. You see Anna. She's crept inside the gate, and she's peering out.
Does she look right at us, like she sees us see her?
Yeah, she does see you all. She recognizes you all. And as you're approaching, Killinger and one of his men, Schroeder, approach from the other side, and Killinger shouts out, Anna! Anna! Really harshly and loudly. And then she gets startled, and she retreats inside the ostrich house with a look of irrational fear about her. And Killinger comes up to you and says, Damn it! Oh, why did I shout? Come on, we better get her.
Yeah, let's run for it.
Okay, yeah, we go after her.
The gate, actually, is locked, strangely. I mean, maybe she got in there before they closed the zoo up. That's the only explanation, because there's no way anyone could have slipped through these bars. But the barred gate is locked.
I take my handgun out and I shoot the lock.
Killinger looks at you and says, In none of action, I approve. And the gate creaks open. As you head in, the first animals you see in there are these really strange creatures. Initially, they look like ostriches, but then you realize they're not. They're cassowaries.
Don't move. I draw my gun.
What?
Because I know what a cassowary is.
I had my gun drawn, thankfully.
I have no weapon. Doesn't matter.
Cassowaries are extremely dangerous if they get frightened or angry, because they have this hooked talon on their foot and they kick. And the force, you can gut someone, like, in a second. They can be very nasty, cassowaries.
Yeah, they're, like, not far off from, Jurassic Park raptors.
Right.
So you head in, and these amazing flightless cassowaries from New Zealand and Northern Australia, black of plumage and with vibrant blue and red wattles, they stand over 6 feet tall and weigh probably nearly 200 pounds, you reckon. More worrisome is the talon, as large and sharp as a spearhead, one on each of its feet, that is easily capable of spilling a person's guts all over the ground if provoked. You recall this chilling fact. As you go in, you hear Anna's footsteps receding.
Okay, I guess we're gonna follow, right? Don't make any sudden movements.
With gun in my hand.
Oh god, I don't have any gun at all.
I can hand you my penknife.
Is there a rake or something in the animal thing?
Yeah, absolutely. You pick up a rake.
Okay, I'm gonna pick up a rake.
You head forward, gun in hand.
Into the darkness. You hear the sounds around you. Everything seems unnaturally tense. You know, you can feel this sort of tension in the air. Killinger and Schroeder are looking around, wondering why it feels like there's danger in the air. And maybe it's those massive shapes moving around in the darkness. You hear them chittering to each other. Obviously, they're alarmed somewhat by this nighttime commotion. And you see there's some vegetation up ahead, and you see a bit of movement. Just a rustle. Anna must be hiding in those bushes.
Okay, I approach quiet with my gun in hand, but down at the side. When I get close, I extend my hand invitingly, non-threatening.
You see that she is there, and she looks up. And then suddenly from behind, you hear this retching sound. Deep, throaty, gurgling, retching sound.
Uh-oh.
I spin around, raising my gun.
Yeah, spin around and clutching my rake.
I spin around with gun leveled.
You guys have guns. I have a rake.
And then you see a really strange sight. You see that Killinger's man, Schroeder, he started to sweat, and you see him starting to kind of as if he's about to vomit, and he's looking really sick. And then he opens his mouth, and he projectile vomits forwards. This huge gush of bloody projectile vomit. And he seems to be aiming it. He seems to be aiming it at Safina and Eckhart.
Oh my god, can I parry with my rake?
There's no way to parry this.
Fuck. I don't want to get bombed on.
We'll see whether it's going to hit you. It's basically his lower jaw has just opened up, like, as wide as it could, and it's just like, it's coming out like a fire.
I hear a sanity check coming on. Whether or not you get dissolved, ugh. Yeah.
So, first, this will be whether it hits Safina. No, it doesn't.
Ah.
Ooh, lucky.
Eckhart, yes. It hits you straight in the face. And the stench coming off it is making you absolutely wretch. You've got to make a sanity roll.
Both of us or just him? Because it missed me.
Everyone has to make a sanity roll.
Ah, nuts.
Eckhart, you lose 2 sanity, and the other two only lose 1 sanity. Witnessing it is almost as bad as having it happen to you. But you need to make a constitution roll now, Eckhart.
Ooh.
Ooh.
You're going to spend the next round retching from this horribleness. So you just drop to your knees and you start vomiting yourself. We're going to get a chain reaction now.
Chain vomiting.
Yeah, it's stand by me.
And then Schroeder just comes charging forward at you, and he's actually pulled out his gun. You were all taken a bit by surprise, so none of you are going to be able to act first. He looks at this and he goes, "God damn it, Schroeder, can't you keep your dinner down?" Until he realizes what's really going on. He goes, "Mein Gott, eine Scheiße."
An ogre, yeah, yeah.
So Schroeder pulls out a Luger and he's going to fire 3 times at point blank range. It'll be either Eckhart or Safina. Oh, Safina.
No! I'm going to dive for cover. No! Failed so hard.
Ooh, your dodge is not good.
He's going to fire you 3 times with this Luger.
Oh, God.
Ooh!
Can I parry with my rake? No, I'm just kidding.
If you'd have successfully dodged, you would have dived for cover and he would have had a penalty dice, but unfortunately he doesn't. So, fortunately, the first bullet misses. It just caroms off the roof. The second also misses.
Yeah.
And the third one, that one hits, I'm afraid. Well, it's not too terrible. You take 4 damage. It's just a graze. You can see that he's starting to take on this horrendous look. And his eyes have also gone this strange, piercing, small, piggish look as he just growls in an animalistic way at you. Killinger has got higher dex than any of you, so he's going to act first. You see him scrabbling for his gun. He's also got a Luger. He pulls it out and he says, "Schroeder, what are you doing?" He's going to fire three times. That is a miss. That's the second one. It's also a miss. Third one is also a miss. Amazing. Nazis can't shoot straight. They're basically the stormtroopers of the 1920s. So there's just a lot of bullets going off, a lot of gunplay. No one is hitting shit. Eckhart, can you take control of the situation?
Yeah, I'm going to shoot this Schroeder guy before he shoots me.
So you hit twice. Roll 2d20 for where these bullets hit. You hit both legs. You hit his left leg and then his right leg. Now, your first bullet is only a graze. Second bullet, however, blasts his right leg off. It just flies off.
Oh my god.
And he tumbles down to the ground and he starts trying to crawl towards you. Safina can't do anything because she died for cover. Victorian, you've spun around now seeing this awful sight.
Okay, so I try to interpose myself between this awful thing and Anna Tchaikovsky, or at least where she was, if she hasn't bolted or something. Am I close enough to this guy to pop off three at him without penalty dice, or do I...
You're all within like 20 feet of each other, so yeah, you can easily get to within point blank range.
If I wanted to aim at its head, that would be a penalty dice?
That would be a penalty dice, yes, if you're specifically aiming.
Okay, so three shots with one penalty dice at his head.
First one failed, second one fails.
Oh no, this was a
third one failed. Oh. You could spend four luck on your first shot. Do you want to do that?
Very well. Yes, I'll burn four.
Okay,
luck.
So roll a d10 for the damage.
Woohoo! That was worth four luck, I guess.
Yeah, okay, so you completely sever the head and it tumbles round a couple of times. It spins on the floor of the cassowary enclosure and then comes to a standstill. And you can see its eyes and mouth are still opening and closing. Its eyes are blinking open and shut. Its body is still trying to crawl towards you. Even the right leg seems to be kind of moving itself, trying to kind of kick. It seems to be trying to crawl towards Anna, actually, behind you. But clearly, it's been quite severely compromised at this point.
Yep.
But amazingly, it's still got some motivating ability. So the main body pushes itself up and is now hopping along with its arms outstretched.
I'm like, this is creepy.
But it seems to have lost its sense of direction. It seems like severing the head has blinded it in some way. It's going to be very random what happens next. So the main body just fires off three more bullets. It's either Eckhart or Anna could be struck by bullets. This is going to be very unlikely to hit anyone at this point. The first bullet from the Luger just goes flying wide. The cassowaries are screaming in terror right now. You can hear Anna sobbing and crying in the back as well. And a bullet is heading her way.
Oh.
Apparently that's a hit, but of course it's got two penalty dice. Oh dear, that's not good. That's a zero. This better be a big one.
No.
Oh no. Anna has been hit by a bullet. Good God. I mean, of all the bad luck. Oof. It's five damage. Anna passes out. She faints from the shock of the bullet wound. The good thing is she's now lying in the bushes, presenting a much smaller target.
And she's not going to run.
What else happens is the right leg that was levering its way along the floor, it's going to try and wrap itself around your legs, Victorian.
Oh, great.
Oh my god.
Mm-hmm. This is like the Reanimator, like the last scene of the Reanimator.
Wow, strong. This leg is strong.
Damn it.
That is a hard success.
I'll try to kick it off, whatever.
The thing tries to hook around your leg, so you just give it a good punt, and maybe you kick it up in the air, and it goes flying across the enclosure. So you've definitely got it out of the way, but what you're realizing that, unlike in the library, where maybe it was something different happened, because if you recall in the library, when you were fighting that thing, it just seemed to all collapse at one point. These body parts, they seem to be continuing to work and move, even though you're causing massive trauma to them. So something much worse is happening now. The head that's on the floor just looks up at you and then opens its mouth Katorian, to vomit more of this blood at you. And you, I mean, it doesn't even have, it's not even attached to its stomach. So where this vomit and blood are coming from is anyone's guess. Oh my God.
Oh Jesus.
I rolled a one. Okay, that is a critical hit. Well, the good thing is you don't take any damage from it, but because it's a critical, it actually goes in your open mouth.
Oh! Oh! Disgusting. Oh,
Jesus.
That has to be the most disgusting thing ever.
Well, I rolled a critical. I had to do something.
Yeah, I know.
Maybe you're opening your mouth to shout, watch out for the... And then
my God. This is getting disgusting.
You got a face full.
You're gagging on this bloody... Right, can you...
Sanity? I thought I was a... Roll, please. Okay, yeah, right. Here comes a sanity roll, which is not fail.
This is really not going well for you today.
No, you're having a bad day. You lose 2 sanity, and you need to make a extreme constitution roll because of the accuracy.
Yeah, that's not likely to happen. Nope.
You fall to your knees, and you start retching. So, Katorian, you are not able to act next round. Killinger seems to be in a panic. He seems to be losing his marbles as well. He's saying, "What devil work is this?" And he just starts firing at the body that's hopping along.
How much of the body now remains?
Well, here's the problem. You don't seem to be doing anything to it. You're just breaking it into more and more parts, each of which is attacking you.
Last time we just blew its head, right? The librarian's head, right?
Its blown up head just vomited into my mouth.
We gotta destroy the body parts. Smoosh them. Pulverize them. Is there a wood chipper?
We didn't bring one with us. Yeah.
There might be a shovel. It seems like the bullets, although they're doing damage, they're not doing...
We have to smush them!
I've got a blackjack that I could beat the crap out of them with when I get off my knees retching.
We gotta smush the head.
So both Eckhart and Katorian are out the action this round. Dafina, what are you gonna do?
I'm gonna run forward and stomp on the head part with my feet.
Just jump on it?
Yeah, up and down. I don't really have great shoes either, so... Yeah.
What kind of shoes are you wearing?
Just kind of like thin, like old leather, thin soled shoes. I don't know. They're probably kind of patched up too, because he only gave me a nice coat, not shoes.
So you're going to try and just stomp on this head with your thin shoes? The head is trying to rock itself backwards so that it's lying facing upwards to get a nice vomit in at you, but it's not managing to do it quite yet. You can make a fighting brawl roll with a bonus dice because this thing can't move. Oh, do you want to spend 2 luck?
Yes, I will spend 2 luck.
Okay, so you lift your foot up and you bring it smashing down on this creature's head. Roll a d3.
2.
And you kind of cave in half of the head. Like one of the eyes comes popping out.
Ah!
Brain matter goes squirting out of the ear and it lets out a groan, but it still seems to be alive. Now, this blind thing, the body that can't seem to locate, it drops the gun and you hear a voice coming from underneath your foot, Safina. And it's saying, "Forward! Forward, she's in the bushes!"
Wait, what's coming from under my foot?
Yeah, the head is shouting
at
its body.
But I thought I smooshed it already.
Only half of it.
Oh my God.
It's only half smushed.
Say, "Forward! Forward! She's in the bushes!" No, not that way! Turn, you idiot! Turn!
Gross.
This is like the Reanimator with the dead body and the head and everything.
I don't like this.
And the hopping remnant of the body is like hops around and basically just springs off its one foot and makes this leap forwards into the bushes, arms stretched out ahead of it.
Ugh.
And it's going to try and grab Anna.
Passed out Anna. Oh no.
It just misses her. You can see it reached out with these huge, vicious arms, and it grabs a bush, thinking it's Anna, and just tears it to shreds. And the head's saying, "You idiots, that's a bush!"
Oh, wow, that's a great visual. That is a great visual.
I really need to smush the rest of this head.
Eckhart, You stop vomiting at this point, and your eyes are, you know, you wipe your mouth, your eyes are watering, and you can see what Safina's trying to do. She's trying to crush this decapitated head. What'd you do?
I guess I will help her to crush.
What are your shoes like?
Okay, you see, just at the edge of the greenery, there's a big, flat rock.
I'm gonna grab a big, flat rock and smash the... Yeah! Nope.
So you lift this stone over your head, Safina jumps backwards, and you bring it down with all your force, and you completely miss the head.
Yeah.
I guess I'm gonna have to go at the head with my blackjack. I whip out my blackjack from underneath my coat. And
wow.
As I retch out the last remnants of my sausage and absinthe, I come to my feet with blackjack raised up high, and I smash down on this thing and pulverize the brain matter all mixed with sausage and absinthe and all sorts of gooiness, and it's all over me now. But I smash it, and then after it's smashed, I smash it two or three more times for good measure until I see that nothing is moving, and then I give it one more good smash.
You basically just hammer this thing into the ground.
Yes.
All that's left after you've gone at it is just this big smear of bone fragments, brain matter, teeth, skin, hair. It's just spread out like it's been rolled over by a steamroller.
And don't forget sauerkraut, sausage, and absinthe.
And then Killinger comes over and says, Stop. You've done it. You've done it. Look, it's okay. You all finally breathe a deep sigh and realize you have defeated this thing. It took immense effort, but the body parts have all just flopped and gone limp.
I want to administer first aid to the princess.
Wait, don't you have vomit all over you?
Yes, I do.
No, don't.
We have no time to waste. I don't even speak that. I just go to her.
So you rush over. She's been struck in the arm. It's not a deep wound.
I treat her for shock. I put my coat on her and stuff like that.
Your vomit coat.
Hooray!
You can roll a d4. You realize after cleaning the wound that it really was superficial and mostly shock and the pain that she passed out from, and you patch her up in a fairly improvised way, and Killinger and you help her up. She's like, what was that?
And she sees me and I'm all like covered in all kinds of the most disgusting viscera,
and then she passes out again on seeing you. And yeah, you head back to Kleist's apartment. By now, the city clocks have chimed the 11th hour, and the mood is subdued, naturally. Anna returns to her suite, exhausted and inconsolable. Killinger stands by the window, holding his chin, looking thoughtful. Prince Konstantinovich, now recovered from the blow to his face, stands nearby, his brow creased, his monocle reflecting the lights of the city. Only a few of the Baron's guests remain.
I can just imagine these pensive political figures, and my fine suit and well-trimmed beard are completely covered with goo.
Yeah, so is my raincoat or whatever I'm wearing.
I feel the intense need to go and shower, but...
Not go to the cabaret, perhaps?
Well, no, not now. I ask politely if someone would like to explain to me what manner of unnatural creature it was that we just fought off for the third time.
There are a few looks that pass around the room. The Baron comes forward to you and he says, do you believe in the occult?
I believe that something that is well beyond my experience has just tried to kill us three times. And the princess.
Hmm.
I don't know as much as I thought.
He says, yes, it is hard to understand what one is experiencing at first. I can see that the three of you have not been exposed to these other worlds, these dark worlds. Correct, yes?
Yes. This is like something from one of my grandmother's fairy tales, except far worse.
Well, we were right in the old days to be scared of the dark, to be scared of what lurked in the forests and in the mountains. These tales were not just to frighten children. They were warnings for all of us. Do you know about the Hospitallers, the Order of St. John?
The Order of St. John, yes. They were crusaders during the Middle Ages.
Yeah, yeah. You see, these traditions go back a long, long way. And I know you have uncovered a small amount of what is the truth. Our association here, we are the true inheritors of that belief, that mission of St. John. We are the true defenders of the hospital.
Truly, you are knights then?
Yeah. We are knights who will do all we can to defend the holy order, the rightful and true way. We are beset by demons, and we must act.
I pull out my pen and writing pad and write that quote down. And I'm totally using it in a novel later.
And you can't help but notice that a couple of the nearby Russians are sniggering to each other. Yeah. The Baron looks over at them and says, these fools, they do not know the truth. They have not experienced it. They have not witnessed it. What you have experienced, what you have seen, has this changed you in any way? Do you see now?
I see that the world is not what I believed it was.
It is not.
Nothing that I saw should be possible, except that another world exists on this world that I had no idea of.
Maybe you are ready then to become part of our inner circle.
What would that require?
There will be certain ceremonies, certain acts that must be performed. I know you have no love for certain of my friends, but these matters can be put aside when there is more at stake than just politics and who gets to collect the taxes. No?
I have very little interest in politics.
I can't imagine anything worse for the world than a bunch of ogres like that overrunning our world.
Yeah, you are right.
There's no escaping. You escape a world with these monstrosities running amok.
And the laughter grows a bit from the two Russians nearby. The man looks over them and says, shut up, you fools. You don't understand what you are hearing. And then you notice that their laughter seems to be intensifying.
Oh no.
It's rising in pitch. Becoming like insane cackling.
It's happening again, I say.
It becomes a hideous, throat-tearing shriek, and they start to change and to deform in front of your very eyes.
Oh no.
And I will tell you what happens to them. This is one of the best random tables I've ever seen. This is the demonic mutation table.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no.
First, one of them, his fingernails grow into these massive, jagged claws that hook round like scythes. And the second one, this one is much worse. Suddenly, you see his skin rippling, as if there's something underneath the skin pushing out. And then faces just burst out of his skin.
Oh, dear.
And start screaming. And you'll swear that one of those screaming faces is Lulu. And everyone's going to have to make sanity rolls. Oh, boy. As usual, Eckhart and Safina.
Safina has diamond mind.
Completely fine. So you both only lose 2 sanity for seeing that.
Oh, God, this is going to be bad.
But, Katorian, you need to roll a d6 and a d2.
Okay, d6. Here comes bout of madness.
You're about to potentially have a bout of madness. You're certainly about to lose. Mm-hmm. In fact, you're about to go indefinitely insane. But you can mitigate it. You need to spend a shit ton of luck.
How much do I need to spend?
A total of 16 luck.
Okay, that leaves just above my threshold. Okay, yeah, I'm doing it. It's done.
You only lose 4 points of sanity. So you are just hovering. You would have been completely gone.
That's like loony bin insanity, right?
Actually, it becomes like an underlying... You know, once you go through your bout of madness, you're very fragile from then on. So any sanity loss at that point, you have a bout of madness. You can't help it. So it's very bad having indefinite insanity, but you're still able to use your character. However, more worryingly, Katorian, you need to roll me a d20.
All right.
More worryingly, as your friends look at you, they see your eyes go piggish again. You get this kind of evil glow in them. And suddenly, you start mutating as well, Katorian.
Fuck!
Oh, no.
You suddenly burst out all over your skin in these horrible, vile, suppurating sores, pulsating and weeping this green fluid. And that's where we will end it for the day. So Eckhart and Safina, you realize now that whatever's been happening to these people is now happening to your friend Katorian right in front of you.
Oh no.
Yeah. So guys, there it is.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Remember, it's got to be the head.
Yeah, it's got to be the head.
Maybe there's other ways. Between now and next week, you need to contemplate what you're going to do. But yeah, Katorian is now demonic.
Okay.
Yeah, is he even going to play next week?
No, he's going to play. He's going to play as Katorian. You're just demon Katorian for the moment. Don't you know, little fool, you never can win. Use your mentality, wake up to reality. But each time I do, just a thought of you makes me stop before I begin. 'Cause I've got you under my skin.